want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Welcome to Truth in the News, where you get the current events from God's point of view, through the eyes of God, and from the heart of God. Now, here is our host, David Heavener, and Pastor Mike Spaulding.
Hey, everybody. David Heavener here, where we have current events from God's point of view, through the eyes of God, and from the heart of God. We have a brand new show, Truth in the News. Me and my good buddy, Pastor Mike Spaulding. Pastor, you there with me?
I am, David. How are you doing today, brother?
Doing good. It's, man, some of these things that's been going on in the world is like, when I read Matthew 24, it's like, okay, I'm starting to live it now.
Yeah.
Starting to live it.
Starting to see it.
Starting to see it. You know, in Matthew 24, it talks about nations shall rise against nation. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but for years I always thought, well, this is a country, like, you know, we're going to war with Russia or whatever. Although that may be true at some point, but nation rise up against nation, could that be culture rises up against culture, ethnic rises up against ethnic? In other words, nations within our nation,
yeah,
rising up against each other.
Absolutely so. And I think I mentioned in a previous episode, David, I'm teaching through Daniel, and I came across a passage of scripture there that kind of supports Matthew 24. When King Nebuchadnezzar had his dream of this statue, the head of gold and the breast of silver and the thighs of bronze and the legs of iron, it gets down to the feet where it's mixed iron and clay or iron and pottery, I think the King James says. Well, that's a picture of a nation that is divided, multiculturalism and diversity. It doesn't meld together, and so you're going to have internal conflict and civil war. And I think that's all encompassed in what you mentioned in Matthew 24.
Wow. So having said that, Jesus in Matthew 24 talked about the end times and what to look for. And he mentioned that nation would rise. Does that have anything to do with what's happening in America right now with these riots, with, you know, the black and white thing and the just everything? Does that have anything to do with it?
Well, it absolutely does. And this is why, David, now you know this. So I'm saying this for the benefit of some of our listeners that might not be aware of this. These riots, with very few exceptions, have been carefully orchestrated. These are not grassroots, spur of the moment. These things have been orchestrated. They've been influenced by other nations. And David, I'm just going to say it. It is my belief that communist China is behind most of what we're seeing. I know that they are behind Black Lives Matter as an organization, Antifa as an organization. They are pumping millions of dollars into these organizations for no other purpose than to cause riots, looting, and violence in America. Now, that evidence is out there, David, and people can go find that for themselves. So this is not just speculation. This is being reported in numerous places.
So, okay, so China's behind it. Now, I hear, now again, I don't want to get into chatter and rhetoric and gossip, but I've read a lot of stuff on George Soros, on, you know, billionaires, people that have a lot of money. Do you think there's a tie between people like that and these riots? Because you hear that a guy like him is funding some of this. You think that could be true?
Yeah, it is true, and again, the research is out there. Folks can find that. But Soros has agendas, and of course, George Soros answers to the Bank of International Settlement in Basel, Switzerland. So you can follow that link too. And David, I agree. We do not want to get bogged down in idle chatter. That's not what we want to do. But we do want to inform.
Yeah.
We do want to provide information for people, so that they can follow that lead themselves. Listen, we can persuade through conversation and speech, and people may adopt our point of view, but it's much better if you discover the truth for yourself.
Absolutely. So let's get into these riots. And you know, Pastor, I talk to people about where we fly. We must fly where God is. We must be able to fly and look down on this. We can't fly at low levels and be caught up in it, okay? Because then we just end up being a part of it, right? So, but I want to bring the plane down a little bit and fly into the storm, you might say. So let's look, and here's the way I see it. Tell me what you think. But I'm looking at different cities across America, and even today, last night, Minneapolis, more rioting, looting, people getting arrested. Look, is it Wisconsin? Look at the thing that happened. Was it in Wisconsin?
Kenosha.
A 17-year-old kills two people in these riots. Look at Portland. Look at Louisville, Kentucky, a smaller city. They're having they tried to burn down the courthouse last week at midnight. They went into it. So here's my observation is somebody's looking back at a map and they're putting dots on different cities saying, here's what we're going to infiltrate. Here's what we're going to attack strategically. Not only are we going to attack these towns, but at some point we're going to leak our way into the upscale white areas of these different cities, okay? And the reason I'm bringing this up is I've noticed that in a lot of these cities, these are predominantly whites, you know, using the analogy of black and white because of Black Lives Matter. And even in Louisville, Kentucky, they're moving into the East End, which is considered the upscale part of the city. Now, the way I look at this is like a military strategy where they're going in. If they can take the strong parts of each city and take them down, it's going to be a lot easier to cause the civil war and mass chaos.
Yeah, well, it certainly is using the devil's greatest weapon, which is fear, because it is causing fear all across America that perhaps their community will be next. So it's a strategy that and they signaled this, David. Black Lives Matter, Antifa signaled this many months ago and said, listen, we are coming to the suburbs. We are coming to places. Now, why they think that's going to win approval or drive their message for approval among American citizens, I don't know, because I think it has the exact opposite effect. Now, should we be addressing issues in our nation? Absolutely, we should be. We absolutely should be. But I want to remind people, David, there is one race. There are not several races. There's one race. It's called the human race. And within that race, there are two families. There's Adam's family, and there's the family of Jesus Christ. Adam's family are still in their sins, lost, and will bust hell's gates wide open. The family of Jesus Christ, our mission is to win as many as possible until the Lord returns from Adam's family into Christ's family. So when we evaluate this, these riots and Black Lives Matter, Antifa, and everything that's being done, it's to try and pull down and destroy America, but let's not take our eyes off of the goal that each of us that names Christ is called to, and that's to share the gospel and win the lost.
Amen. You know, we had the riots in Louisville, Kentucky. I happened to be passing by there at the time. It's when, I can't remember this organization. They're all dressed in black. They carry, you know, machine guns, and they go into a town. I can't remember the name of them. Grandmaster Jay, I think, is the head of it. But they come in there, and they start marching. And, of course, they end up shooting somebody. I think they shot one of their own people by mistake. But I covered it. I went live and covered it. And there was no pastors down there. There was no churches. You know, people were down there marching. And I kept asking, where are the where are the churches? Where are the people of God down there praying this down, praying it away? The Christians, the children of God, it seems we just kind of go and hide under a rock. We say, this isn't our battle. We'll just, this is not the right thing to do, is it?
What?
I'm asking you, I know your answer, Pastor, yeah, but you I'm do asking know. You because, well, the reason I'm asking is because I keep asking myself, where's everybody? So I have to ask that. Yeah. You know, I'm not asking you because I know you're going to tell me what I want to hear. I'm going, am I losing my mind? I mean, tell me I'm still thinking rationally here, right?
Yep. You sure are. So since the Lord Jesus Christ said, you shall have all power and authority, you shall have all power and authority, go forward, go forth, and do it with power and authority. So I think the idea of going down there and praying and engaging some of those folks that are marching and maybe even trying to hand them some gospel tracts or literature, I think that's a brilliant idea, actually. Why aren't they there? Well, number of reasons. They don't want to be confrontational. They don't want to put themselves into a situation where they might get hurt or anybody else that they bring down there. And those are all valid reasons, David. I get it. I really do. But listen, should we be cowering in fear, or do we have this life that the Lord has given us to live for his glory and honor? Go down there and talk to these people. Now, it may not have a good outcome, but it may have a good outcome. So we don't know unless we go, right?
Absolutely. I mean, at least go down there and talk to God. Yes. I mean, first talk to God. Say, God, who am I supposed to talk to? Yes. But what am I supposed to do? And you just hit on a point. You know, I know people don't want to get hurt, but you know what, Pastor? We live in a community now of a bunch of pansy Christians. I'm talking about the guys now, not the girls. Mm-hmm. Years ago, and if you watch The Patriot, even though that was based on certain truths, it was still a fictional writing. But pastors would wear their military uniforms underneath their robes when they get up to preach Sunday morning. You know,
that's right.
And my thing is, most of the Christian men, they've lost their kahunas. I mean, nobody wants, not all, but I mean, many of them, they don't want to stand up and be confrontational. They want to sit behind their computer and, you know, in la-la land. And don't you agree with me? We have to, as men, stand up now. And not intentional confrontation, but we need to stand up for God. And who knows where it's going to lead, but we have to at least stand up.
Yeah, we do. And pastors are supposed to, you know, we're called under-shepherds for a reason. So we go where the Lord directs. We're serving him, but we're serving his people too. And pastors are meant to lead, David. They're meant to model. They're meant to demonstrate visibly the way that we are to live our lives and the things that we are to become involved in. And what better opportunity than going to a place where you know for a fact that an overwhelming number of those that are participating in this event, they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, and perhaps they'd never had anyone tell them about Christ. At least, and your point was great, David, at least go down there and pray. Can you imagine what a visible image that is in the minds of people that have other ideas? You're standing on a street corner, David, with your hands, your arms uplifted, praying out loud that God's Spirit would fall on all of these people and bring them into salvation. What a powerful picture that would be.
Amen. Amen. Everybody, this is David Hebner. I'm with my buddy Mike Spaulding, and we're talking about truth in the news. News from a biblical standpoint, from God's point of view, we pray, and we talk about things like this. And if you'd like to have this show, this recording, played at your church or in your Bible study or in your Sunday school, we welcome that, and you can just contact us. Matter of fact, I think, Pastor, why don't I give them my contact?
Yeah, that's a great idea.
So, Yeah, you can email me at david@davidhebner.com if you'd like a copy of this, a link sent to you. We're here for God. That's it. We have no agenda except God's agenda. Pastor Mike, the riots, you know, here's my main question with all this. We talked about nation rise against nation, what Jesus did in Matthew 24. So this is biblical prophecy playing out right in front of us, right?
That's right.
What, other than going down and praying when people riot, what we as Christians, how should we handle the black and white issue? How should we handle the Black Lives Matter issue? You see, the reason I'm bringing this up is because nobody wants to bring it up. They've put us in a place where it's it's politically incorrect. Be careful what you say. How are we supposed to handle this, knowing that there was a Holocaust at one time, knowing there could be another Holocaust at one time, and I'm talking about the Jewish people, okay? While I believe this diversion, Black Lives Matter, which, you know, certainly there was slavery, and certainly I don't want to go into all that, but we certainly do agree with much of that. But if you look at what's happening now with anti-Semitism, just like in Los Angeles, they had a banner condemning the Jews, basically, anti-Semitic. You've got a lot of coming against the Jewish people now. Could this Black Lives Matter, could this whole movement be a diversion so that the Jewish people go under persecution again? And could there be another Holocaust?
Wow. Well, those are some very poignant questions that need to be asked and answered today. So first of all, how do we talk about Black Lives Matter? Well, we talk about it within the context. Now, we need to understand, folks, first of all, let me say this. We cannot allow the framework or the formatting of the conversation to be devoid of truth. And what I mean by that is this. We cannot allow those who are causing the violence, those who are demanding to be heard, to say that all lives matter, to say that we cannot say all lives matter. Because, David, that's been deemed as racist by those groups. And that's nonsense. So the starting point is all lives matter. Now let's talk about black lives, and let's talk about your goal and your agenda. Well, you don't have to dig very deep to find out what the actual goals and agenda is for Black Lives Matter, because they state it publicly. And it is nothing that any citizen of the United States of America should be supporting. And I would ask people to go to Black Lives Matter and find that out for themselves. So to have this conversation, we need to say, are there people who have sin in their heart, i.e., they look at other races and think they are somehow of less value? Yes, absolutely. But again, we cannot allow the other side to create the framework, because what they'll say is minorities cannot be racist because they don't have any power. Only those in power can be racist. So that automatically says all whites are racist because you have the power, but blacks can't be racist because they're a minority. Do you see how this works, folks? So if we're going to have an honest conversation about racism in America, then we need to be on a level playing field, and we need to be able to talk frankly and truthfully with one another. Then we get to the place where we begin to have honest conversations, and people's minds will be persuaded and people's lives will be changed. But until we get to that place, David, we can't have that. And I think that the Black Lives Matter movement, Antifa, they don't want to have that conversation. They say they want to have the conversation, but they really don't, because they construct the the paradigm or the framework of the conversation so that it eliminates any truth that could be presented that would go against their viewpoint. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Now, that clarifies a lot. And, you know, going now connecting to another agenda, I think it's a diversion because they've got on the 405 freeway last week, they had banners hanging down that says the Jews want a race war. They're blaming the Jews.
Wow.
They're blaming the Jews for the riots. And I'm going, now that's a riot in itself. I mean, it's like, where do they get that at? You see, this ties into the persecution of Jews. And my question to you is, could there be another Holocaust of the Jewish people?
Well, they're actually
coming.
Yeah, yes. I believe there is. Satan has... Read Revelation 12, folks, and you'll understand about the Holocaust. Satan hates the Jews. From the Jews came Messiah. Let's put that right out there. I love saying this, David. Jesus was a Jew. He's coming back as a Jew. Hello, folks.
Yeah.
You better understand this, because if you got an issue with the Jews and you claim to be a Christian, you better rethink your position. So absolutely. It's very possible. It's always percolating right below the surface, and it's loose every now and again, and you see it. Now, I want to say this from a biblical perspective, and this has to do with the tribulation period, David. My personal belief is that the greatest Holocaust that we're going to see on the face, and this will surpass Hitler's Holocaust manifold times, is going to be the tribulation period. Now, we know when the seal, bowl, trumpet, when all of those judgments are unleashed upon this world and the unbelievers in this world during the tribulation period, that upwards of 2/3 of the world's population is going to be decimated. That includes Jewish people that have not received Christ as their Messiah. And I've said this before, the tribulation period, in my understanding of the scriptures and of eschatology, of prophecy, of the book of Revelation, the book of Daniel, the tribulation period is all about the Jews. There's a reason why it's called the day of Jacob's trouble. There's a reason why it's called the day of the Lord. It's about the Jewish people. And that's why Paul says in Romans chapter 11, David, all Israel will be saved. Think about that, but what's the context? The context is, end of the tribulation period, Zechariah chapter 12, they will look on him whom they have mourned and they will weep. That is a picture of them receiving Christ as their Messiah, the Jewish people, but it will come through much tribulation. So, yes and yes to your question, is a Holocaust coming? It absolutely is. But the greatest Holocaust yet to be unfolded, and if you're listening to David and I, and you're of Jewish descent, please, please, please reinvestigate the claims of Jesus Christ. He is the Messiah. He is, what's the scripture say, David? Yeshua HaMashiach. He is Jesus, the Messiah. Investigate those claims, folks, please.
Amen. Amen. So basically, it's going to be the riots of all riots.
Yes.
You think we got riots now? You wait until the God's riot. And the only signs you're going to see, Jesus talked about, you wicked generation, you seek after signs. The only signs that you're going to see and that we see now is the sign of the coming of Christ. We know he's coming back.
That's right.
Don't know when, don't know exactly the details, but we know that he's coming back. And that's why it's important, Pastor, that in these last days and these times we live in, that we have to come together like you and I are doing and talk about these things, because people are confused and people are scared. And, you know, they're sitting in the comfort of their little, you know, suburban home, and some are trying to figure out what's going on. But it's good that we talk about these things and we bring them up. for the simple fact is that when we operate as Christians, we operate in a world that basically shakes things. You know, my sister says, David, I hate it when you come in town because you come in like a hurricane. You disassemble everything and things get all, you know, and you leave and it's like, and it wasn't the way it was when you walked in. we as Christians, and I'm not saying what I do is all good, but we as Christians need to be the same way. Don't you agree that when we walk into a room, it should never be the same as when we walked in. When we walk out, it should be different than when we walked in.
Amen, brother. Think about this. Can you imagine the Holy Spirit being so on you, you carrying a mantle, the anointing of the Spirit, that when you walk in a room, the demeanor, the countenance of everyone changes because they know that they are in the presence of one who knows Jesus.
Wow. Wow. Now, isn't that a flip-flop from what we have now? That when Christians walk into a room, they kind of want to hide off in the corner and they don't want to talk about God. But yeah, so we're in a time now, you know, summing this whole thing up, that we're not afraid as Christians to talk about issues. Matter of fact, we want to. We want to put them on the table. We don't want to worry about offending people, though our heart is to love people. But the problem is the church has taught the wrong kind of love. They've taught compromise and kissing up to people. We want to love God first, and therefore we want to talk about the truths of God. If it offends people, hey, don't look at me. Don't look at us. We're the messenger, right? We just want to lay this on the table. I'm not sure how much time we have left.
We've got about two minutes.
Okay. I want one last little question here. We've been talking about the riots and we talked about what's behind the riots. For the churches in their local neighborhoods, when they see a riot going on, can you give any information, encouragement to that little church on the corner of what they can do when they hear of a riot coming to their town?
Yeah. So,
or a protest.
Yes, absolutely. So let me condense all of this down. Immediately alert your prayer team, your prayer line, put out the SOS, go to prayer immediately and ask the Father to intercede in whatever manner or way he desires. And that might very well mean he wants to use you. So pastor, elders, leadership of the church, you be praying specifically, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Can I go down there? Are there others I can call? Can I go down and engage these people with the gospel of Jesus Christ? So show up, allow God to use you, and have all of that prayer support behind you. That's a very quick answer to your question, David, but it's something that every church, no matter how big or small, can do.
Absolutely. That's some great encouragement. So just shame on us as Christians if we don't go down and stand up for what we believe is right when we see other organizations going down there and standing against it. They're not even Christians. So we have to be the first responders. I think that's what you're saying.
Yes, amen.
Thank you, Pastor, for being with us. Had a great time once again. And I want you guys to join us because we're here for you. This show is continuous, episode after episode, Truth in the News, where we pray that God will bring some truth through us but regarding the news. See you next time. God bless you.